we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took. Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, read by Peter Donaldson.
Italy has abolished a recent law which ruled that people who die must still pay their yearly £25 health tax. It was conceded that there was no way to enforce the measure.
Well, thank you to Mrs. M. Yates of Stretton in Cheshire for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you please welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween, and with him, Peter Cook. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran, with the man critics have described as Mark Stein. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from The People, sent in by Tony Fernandez of York.
The hit movie Jurassic Park has boosted business for Richard Siebenhaler, who sells dinosaur droppings from his shop in Colorado. Dino dung costs £2 a bag because, says Richard, it's rare. This stuff's not being made anymore.
Francis, the first question is for you. Whose closing lines are the winter of our discontinued service?
Could this be British Rail?
It could be British Rail.
They've decided to close down the railways to stop them being privatised, basically, I think.
Yes, is that it? That sort of heads in that direction, yes.
And so there are going to be no trains on Sundays or most other days, but there'll be tremendous buffet service while you're waiting.
Because I think that's it in a nutshell. It's the news that British Rail is cutting out 10,000 train services in the winter, which came as a bit of a shock, as no one knew British Rail could actually run any services in the winter. The news was greeted by hordes of train spotters leaving stations and heading for Loch Ness, where they have more chance of spotting something. The government denied they were trying to encourage private buyers by making the rail system much smaller, but they have just received an interested bid from Hornby. Peter, whose first anniversary caused black looks on Wednesday?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Is this something to do with Mandy Smith? Was it the first anniversary of her last selling the store?
No.
Whose anniversory? What do you think?
Norman Lamont?
Yes, I think that's it.
Norman Lamont, you reckon, yeah. Okay. It is the great Tory leadership debate whether or not they should get some. Criticising his lack of control over taxation plans, Norman Lamont called upon John Major to assert his authority, to which the Prime Minister responded stridently that he would do as long as there were no objections from anyone else. On the anniversary of Black Wednesday, Mr. Lamont declared that given the right government, Britain could lead the world. Or given the wrong one, we could be stuck with it for another 14 years. Following his success with the party that took Britain swiftly in and out of the EMF, in and out of a single currency, and in and out of the ERM, Norman has gone on to represent Rothschilds in the European Hokey Cokey Championship. The news. Felt Mark Stein. Your question now, why didn't French country wines travel well?
This isn't due with the French farmers again.
It is.
The French farmers, as part of the... They object to the Uruguay round of the GATT talks, which for some reason is never held in Uruguay. I don't understand that. But at any rate, they're now in the situation where they're burning... What do they burn? They're not burning six-year-old beef this time.
No, it's straw.
Because it's hell to defrost. Getting a bunch of French farmers around to have a big fire around it. But they're objecting to some forms of tariff reduction. I think that's the term.
I think you've got it entirely. It is the French who've got trouble with the farmers again. It's sitting on cold seats that does it. The farm workers protested... Thank you. Altogether or not at all. The farm workers... Farm workers protested by blocking roads into Paris by setting light to heaps of straw and bales and tyres. Rural France hadn't seen so much smelly old rubbish since the publication of A Year in Provence. The British Minister of Agriculture, Mrs. Gillian Shepherd, denied that GATT unfairly penalised the French farmers. Not at all. They thoroughly deserve all the penalising they get. Alan, will you please listen to this?
You've got friends and neighbours, all the world is a happier place. Friends and neighbours, put the smile on the gloomiest face. Just take your...
Well, that, of course, was Friends and Neighbours by Billy Cotton and his band. Alan, your clue is, where did a sign of the times give peace a chance?
We have a neighbour's question every week these days, and it's usually about somebody bonking next door and the other one's complaining. Friends and neighbours, not about Princess Anne's putative pregnancy, is it?
No.
Nobody has...
No.
...popped over the Gatcombe fence to cover her. Some of the Times... It's not about Times newspaper at 30 pence.
No.
A sign. Mark.
Two men whose names begin with Y. Is that right?
Yes, that's absolutely so.
What, the bloke in the tea towel?
Yep.
But this is neighbours who are becoming good friends in the other famous Australian song. This is the closing of the Middle East.
Yep.
And all that handshaking.
Yes.
You've written down Yitzhak and
Yasser. Well, it's the
very good. What a team they were. Better than Collins and Green. And now Yitzhak and Yasser, a song and dance, they fill the stage with bullets.
It's the first time, I think, there's ever been two men whose first names begin with Y in the White House.
Ask me another.
This was the historic peace deal between Israel and the PLO, which was drawn up this week and signed on the White House lawn. If it was that historic, you thought they'd have found a bit of paper to print it on, really. After the ceremony, Israel's Yitzhak Rabin reluctantly shook hands with Yasser Arafat and then wiped his hand on the special celebration tea towel Yasser was wearing on his head. And the scores at the end of the first round are unremarkably 3-3. We start round two with an item from an agricultural newspaper, Southwest Farmer.
A new practical skills course covering DIY artificial insemination and cattle breeding management has been launched by Beeflink UK for farmers in the Southwest. Beeflink Management Director Gerard Tucker said, "There is an increasing trend towards DIY artificial insemination. A recent survey showed that half of dairy farmers with more than 40 cows are intending to invest in an on-farm semen flask and carry out the job themselves."
Thank you, Peter. And thank you, Major R.J. Morse of Wellington in Somerset, for sending us that. Francis, your question again. Where do unseated members no longer find their prince charming?
We had unseated members.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cook might know this. No, he doesn't.
Yes, I probably do. Probably know this one. It's a Mandy Smith question.
Unseated
just
members.
Just getting back to the whys. Because there was a historic meeting between Alan Yentob and Yogi Bear. Which led to a lot of programming changes.
Did indeed.
Well, I think we're pretty well baffled by this, unless it's about Mandy.
I think they're just pretending.
Tiny hint of
a clue. Under this new scoring system.
The
smallest country in Europe.
Liechtenstein has fallen to bits. That's the answer to your question. Any more? Is that right?
The prince has been discovered to be impotent.
What's happened is that Robert Maxwell, who's now dead, based his companies in Liechtenstein. When he died, Liechtenstein lost all his money, and ever since then, the politicians in Liechtenstein have been squabbling over things, and the prince, whatever he's called...
Has been brought in.
Yasser, who runs Liechtenstein, is fed up with it and has basically dissolved a lot of them and told them he's going to run it himself.
Well answered. Anyway. This refers to the intrigue and constitutional chaos surrounding Hans Adam II of Liechtenstein, the well-known tiny principality and almost concert piano. From his palace in Valdas, Valdouze, chosen as capital because it scores 27 in Scrabble. The Crown Prince announced he was fed up with his parliament's antics and immediately sacked the lot of them, thereby doubling the country's unemployment figures to 4. Now, Peter, your question, and I can give you a clue here, the answer isn't Mandy Smith.
Good, that's all clear. Question... Is it Robin Smith?
No, it's further east than that. It's, why is a Chinese meal the really fast food?
Ah, well, I know this one. It's the strange rotten mushrooms which these women athletes in China have been ingesting perfectly legally through the mouth and elsewhere, and which enables them to lop 10 seconds off the record they created the day before.
Well answered. This refers to the Chinese women runners whose record breaking on the track has been put down to their special diet. It comprises pollen, turtles, ginseng and stewed dog. No wonder they run so fast after that lot. It certainly brings a whole new meaning to the expression record breaking runs. The really special power booster is made from Tibetan hairy caterpillar fungus, but available here under the brand name Norman Lamont's Eyebrows. Mark, will you listen to this?
Money, money, money.
Oh, that was, of course, the well-known anagram ABBA, singing Money, Money, Money. And Mark, who cut corners and left Auntie seeing red?
Is Auntie a reference to the BBC?
It is a reference to the BBC.
Well, there were two stories about the BBC this week, and the only one I can remember is one about BBC studios being infested by fleas.
Ah, you'll find that the...
Is it about the licence fee?
It's about BBC cost-cutting.
Mm.
Anybody can help me out here?
Well, it's obviously about the BBC cost-cutting, where in order to save money on taxes, they're giving them this Chinese fungus and telling them to run to the broadcasting house. It'd be a lot quicker.
You get a bonus for that. I'll now give you the answer. This is the BBC cost-cutting unit, which has gone £3 million over budget after just 4 months. A figure which delighted the unit's chief accountant, Mr. Blobby. The initiative was the brainchild of John Burt, or as he's known by dissidents, the thinking woman Sid Little. Meanwhile, the overspend has led to popular shows being made on a shoestring, so viewers can now look forward to One Man and No Dog and the hard-hitting hospital drama Bedpan. Alan, what are ad men going to work on?
Well, this is another piece of degradation of the chicken. If it's not bad enough having your children come out like that and then having someone break them on the edge of a bowl and fry them. These children of theirs are going to be tattooed in the womb with things like Nike and...
Absolutely right. It's the proposal to print advertisement on eggshells, which will be implemented as soon as they develop a paintbrush which doesn't tickle the hens. The eggverts will be limited to closely related products, which, if Edwina Curry has anything to do with it, will include Acme stomach pumps and antibiotics. The farmers hope the technology can be utilised to provide an instant on-egg guide to edibility, from fresh, not so fresh, to only suitable for throwing at John Selwyn Gummer. And, remarkably, we've come to the end of yet another round, and the scores have changed dramatically, because Alan and Mark are 5, but Francis and Peter are in the lead with 6. We start round 3 with an item from the Bristol Observer.
There was an unfortunate omission in our story, Observer May 7th, about driving instructor Peter Oswald of Bristol Driving School. Cards he has given out to prospective learners clearly state that he is the man to learn to drive with if people want an instructor who does not shout, swear, smoke, and lack patience. Our apologies for the omission of the word not in our story.
Well, thank you, Kenneth Mobbs, also of Bristol, for sending us that. Now, Francis, your question again. Who wouldn't trust an honourable friend to give a straight answer?
Oh, dear, this isn't Norman Lamont, and it's nothing to do with Liechtenstein, so it must...
All of them, not just Lamont, but...
Who wouldn't trust honourable members to give a straight answer?
It's a poll.
Mark Stein knows, and he's going to tell us
now. It's one of these polls. There were two polls this week. One is that...
No notice of polls.
Yeah, there was the one poll that's General Sikorsky, but 86% of Sun readers think Princess Anne is pregnant, although how would they know? I'd like to know. And 96% of Daily Telegraph readers say they don't like anything politicians are saying, and they don't believe they say anything worth listening to. What's wrong with the other 4%? That's what I want to know.
Mark Stein is right, and he gets the point. This was the survey that revealed MPs are regarded as repetitive, evasive, and absurdly partisan. Three terms known collectively among professional politicians as a job description. And that's all there is to that. So, Peter, will you please listen to this? Well, that was, of course, Herb Alpert with Spanish Flea. Peter, why are you now 71% more likely to get a flea in your ear? I believe there was a reference to this earlier. should help you out a bit.
Well, I dare say I was too busy writing the answer down to hear what you said.
Oh, that's all right.
The Spanish flea was seen. As you know, the Spanish flea is somewhat more virulent than the good old English flea, which is very nice and cuddly and just hangs around mainly BBC studios. But the Spanish fleas have been coming over through the Channel, which is Mrs. Thatcher's brilliant idea to import virulent Spanish fleas to get into BBC studios and indeed John Major's trousers. And that is the story. The fleas have arrived from Spain and are wreaking havoc.
It's bizarre, but I'll give you the point. You don't deserve it. You're going to get one, though. It is the news that the British flea population has increased by 71% in just 2 years. At last, something in which Britain leads the world. The problem is that fleas are very athletic for their size and difficult to catch. Their favourite foods are dead skin from cats and dandruff from dogs. So with a little bit of training, they could be selected to run for China at the next Olympics. Mark, your turn for another question. Whose little charm had a stroke of luck? I perhaps would emphasise the words stroke and charm.
Stroke and charm.
Oh, I remember this. It's a sort of Joe and the Wad. Somebody with a pixie won £1.5 million.
That's right, yes.
They had this thing, and they waved it over their little pools coupon. And by some miracle, QPR won. Won't happen again, I'm
This is about Les Wheeler, who won £1.5 million on the pools and explained his good luck was a result of rubbing a little pixie.
That's the Andy Smith story again.
Yeah, right. Mr. Wheeler has welcomed the money, but said it wouldn't change his life. If he really didn't want to win anything, he should have entered the Reader's Digest prize draw. Alan, your question now. Whose animated objection sounds like a Looney Tune?
This is a Disney?
No, it's BBC again.
Oh, God. Was it animated fleas? Is this, my partner's writing
the... I thought it was the French who objected to cartoons.
Ah, well, tell me what you know.
Well, the French object to cartoons. I thought there's some... Isn't there something... They're trying to cut back on Daffy Duck and
Yes, they are. This is the complaint about British broadcasting cartoons to Europe made by a Mr. Pinheiro, the European Commissioner for Culture, whose overall job it is to protect German music, French art, Italian opera and Belgian... Well, he's still thinking about Belgium. The new satellite cartoon network is under attack for failing to put out a minimum 51% European content. A letter of complaint was received by Heritage Minister and cartoon supremo Peter Brook, who passed the inquiry to his personal assistant, Boo Boo. To comply with regulations, European versions of well-known American cartoons are already in production. They include Tom and Sven, the Flintstones, and Norwegian favourite, Scooby-Doo. Let me tell you the scores at the end of the third round, which have magically righted themselves, because both sides are tied on 8. 8-all. Well done. Before we start the final round, the following is spotted in the Budley Salterton Journal.
Budley Salterton Beach has been branded a health risk in a tough new guide to bathing beaches in the UK. The survey claims that tests carried out on the seawater off Budley Salterton Beach failed to meet the rigorous standards of cleanliness and water quality required by the European Bathing Water Guideline standards. District Councillor Ray Franklin said, "It's hardly surprising. On the one side, we have the Exmouth outfall pipe, and on the other, the Ex estuary pipe. Budley is simply caught between two stools at the moment."
Please try to forget that you heard it here first. But thank you, if that's the right word, to Mrs. Veronica Young of Coolsden in Surrey for sending us that. And Francis, now it's your piece of music. Well, that was taken from an a cappella collection entitled Songs of the Humpback Whale.
Oh, I thought it was that Whitney Houston song that got the woman sent to prison.
I thought it was the chickens having the commercials tattooed on.
Yes, he It is the Songs of the Humpback Whale. And Francis, your clue is, where does the Call of the Wild have a regional ring?
Presumably it's something to do with whales.
It is.
Since you play whale music. Well, the whales... well, nothing to do with fleas, no, is it? No. It must be... my colleague here has written the word cats on his bit of paper.
Well, it's a very long-running show, and I thought I'd plug it. It is a story of a whale that failed to rub its pixie and was unlucky enough to get beached in Budley Salterton and became ill. And was rescued, I hope, by Annika Rice.
Well worth a bonus, well done. Do you know the others?
No, I'm saying something about regional. They don't have regional accents. Well, I mean, they're not Lancashire Wales.
Oh, Welsh Wales. Wales,
ah,
Welsh
ah,
Wales.
This is the whole point of
they
the
do.
Story.
I have the feeling that... I'm dredging back into my early whaling career. As I recall, whales in different parts of the world call to one another in different sorts of voice.
Well, you haven't got it quite right. You get your mark for that. It's the US Navy research team that claimed that whales have regional accents, a discovery so startling that the Pentagon immediately introduced mandatory dope testing for all US Navy research teams. Using the latest sonar listening devices, scientists picked up broad local dialects, which went some way to answering the timeless question, why are whales so seldom chosen to read the news? Marine biologists claim the decoded messages can highlight endangered species. The whales most at risk can clearly be heard to say, actually, I'm going to Norway for the bank holiday. Peter, what borders will cross the borders on a public mission?
What borders?
Yes.
Well, it's not Ellen border, and it's not the Prince of Wales. No. It's
Russians. Russian boys.
We know.
Well, I'll pass it to the other side.
It's Oakley Park School.
Oh.
£2,500 a term, and they've opened it to Russians.
That's right.
It's so they can still get their quota of homosexual spies now that the Cold War's ended. They can't.
That's quite right. Well, it certainly worked for Burgess Philby and Maclean. This refers to the Russian pupils who are to attend a Gloucestershire prep school and enjoy the traditional cold showers, terrible food, in fact, all the comforts at home. It's hoped that the Russians will be extremely good at English by the end of the year. They could pick up handy phrases like, I would like to bully you, please. And matron says the love between a boy and his sheep is perfectly natural.
Mark.
Why might I be wishing you a happy September the 15th?
September the 15th is Black Wednesday. Or it was last year, wasn't it?
Well, I don't
know.
Go on, Francis.
You don't know. It's an astronomer at Sheffield University who has done some calculations and decided that Christmas Day should be on the 15th of September, which is something that's already well known to department stores, which is why they start putting their Christmas decorations in July.
Oh, damn, Francis. It's astronomer Dr. David Hughes who claims Christmas Day should be celebrated on September the 15th. Dr. Hughes bases his theory on historical evidence, specifically a recently unearthed September issue of the Christmas Radio Times 7BC, which features the traditional 3 o'clock speech from King Herod, followed by an audience with Dame Barbara Cartland. That's a repeat from 8BC. Alan. Who had them reeling in the aisles with a bad mother-in-law joke?
I was waiting for Colin Buckland.
Who's he?
The bloke who was caned by the Kissogram girl. We're not having him?
No.
What a shame. I know the other one. This is.
Thank God for that. That's all I can say.
I've got to get their names right. It's a hyphenated mother-in-law called something like Baird Rivers.
Baird Parker.
Baird Parker. And her daughter, who was called Adams. I don't know if she was called Adams before she married this bloke or not, but either way, she hated this daughter-in-law and wanted to ruin her wedding day. So when the bloke stood up at the front and says, that thing about holding your peace...
Yes. As established earlier by the man who won £1.5 million. Yes, that's right.
And she said, yes, I know 387 things. And proceeded to scream them.
That's right.
And it's simply that she doesn't like her daughter-in-law, Anthea Adams.
This was raging mother-in-law Ruth Baird Parker, who gate-crashed her son's wedding ceremony to deliver something borrowed and something blue, mainly her language. When the vicar asked if anyone knew of any impediment to the marriage, Mrs. Baird Parker jumped up and accused the bride of not treating her son properly. Then, when the bride was asked if she promised to keep herself unto him only, the mother of all mother-in-laws shouted, "That'll be the first time." As police intervened, Mrs. Baird Parker vowed never to speak to the couple again. Probably the best wedding present they could have wished for. Well, that's it. But before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis, what have you brought us?
It's from the Western Morning News.
Yes.
China's top state prosecutor, Liu Fuzi, conceded yesterday that officials sometimes use torture, sabotage elections, and frame people with false accusations. But he dismissed criticism of Peking's human rights record as groundless.
Very good. Peter.
Mr. A. Huntingdon of 48 Moss Road, Audley Edge, Cheshire, sent in this cutting from the Oldie. A topical cutting, I may say. He says Mr. Ingram's organ might do particularly well in France, where the life expectancy for a 60-year-old woman is 84.2 years.
Good luck, Richard, wherever you are. Mark.
This comes from the Kent Messenger and is an advertisement for a hotel in Belgium. And it's a four-star hotel just outside the city centre, 10 minutes from the Belgian border, located along the motorway from Bellewaerde, Bruges Leisure and Leper Park. Sort of takes care of both the Princess of Wales interests at the same time,
absolutely,
really.
Absolutely, yes, right. Alan, we come to you now.
I'll do one for the Mansfield Chronicle. For 7 hours, a man defied police from a 60-foot-high roof. Then they brought in his wife and child to help persuade him down. She called him, "Come down, pet, I love you." When the man still refused, she shouted, "Well, bloody jump then and we can all go home."
Well worth waiting for. Now, thank you all. Let's have a look at the final score, which are Francis and Peter scored 10, but Alan and Mark are this week's winners with 12. Well done, gentlemen. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the classified section of the Harrow Informer, sent in by Mrs. J. Sharman of Hatch End, Middlesex.
Visiting massage by a mature housewife, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. All areas covered.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Francis Ween, Peter Cook and Mark Stein. The chairman was Barry Took and the cuttings were read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was John Naismith.